This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Send me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. And I want to express my appreciation to Faith Talk here in Phoenix and KKVV in Las Vegas for broadcasting these shows. I know this is a little off the beaten path, the things that I talk about here, but these are often the things that real world people are struggling with, and so that's why I bring them up. So I'm going to begin by, telling you who we are. Blazing Grace is an international ministry to persons who struggle with pornography, sex addiction, adultery. We help men, we help couples, we help youth. We have people coming to us, parents coming to us whose teenager is addicted to pornography. That's boys and girls. So moms and dads, if you think this is not an issue with your teen, you need to be aware of this. It is. It's saturated all over our youth, and a lot of them are addicted to their phones. There was an article not long ago, or actually last year, from a teacher in Tucson who quit because his kids wouldn't put their phone down. They wouldn't listen to him. They didn't care. So he said, heck with this. I'm done with this. And so your kids, our kids, are growing up addicted to phones. Kids are getting smartphones as early as age 3, age 4, because parents are just throwing a phone at them to be a kind of pacifier. This is not good. This is dangerous. So we offer counseling. We do groups by Zoom, counseling by Zoom. We have groups running on through the week, support groups for men and women. Actually, October 10th, I'm going to be leaving here to go to England and Europe for a month. I'll be speaking in various settings on these topics. So if you're in the UK or Europe and you'd like to have me speak, I still have some open days. Send an email. The email address is email@blazinggrace.org, or go to the website blazinggrace.org, and we'll see what we can work out. And we offer a From Porn to Grace conference. It's a one-day conference that's great for men, for women, for youth, for teens, where I get into what pornography and what sexual sin does and how to heal and break free from it. I talk about healing for couples. So we offer a lot, and allow us to help you. If you're in bondage, if you're stuck, if your marriage is in a hard place, then please reach out. Don't just sit there and die. Let this thing destroy your life. It will destroy your life. And so I'm going to begin with an article of a tragic story that really grieved me. And this is just this week this came out. And it says, parents of teenager who took his own life sue OpenAI. And I'll read from the article. A California couple is suing OpenAI over the death of their teenage son, alleging its chatbot, ChatGPT, encouraged him to take his own life. The lawsuit was filed by Matt and Marie Rain, parents of 16-year-old Adam Rain, in the Superior Court of California. Family included chat logs between Adam, who died in April, and ChatGPT that show him explaining his suicidal thoughts. They argue the program validated his most harmful and self-destructive thoughts. So Adam, teenager, he got sucked into this chatbot, and he was expressing himself and talking about committing suicide, and the chatbot allegedly took him in deeper. So according to the lawsuit, Adam began using ChatGPT in September 2024 as a resource to help him with schoolwork. He was also using it to explore his interests, including music and Japanese comics, and for guidance on what to study at university. In a few months, ChatGPT became the teenager's closest confidant, the lawsuit says, and he began opening up to it about his anxiety and mental distress. Oh, it just breaks my heart when I read that. Because this has happened with the advent of smartphones and social media, where we have virtual connections that we think are real relationships, but it's not the same as sitting down with another human being one-on-one and saying, hey, I'm really struggling. And more people are getting sucked into AI boyfriends and AI girlfriends. AI pornography is a thing. So I'll continue with the article. By January 2025, the family says he began discussing methods of suicide with ChatGPT. Adam also uploaded photographs of himself to ChatGPT, showing signs of self-harm, the lawsuit says. The program recognized a medical emergency but continued to engage anyway, it adds. According to the lawsuit, the final chat logs show that Adam wrote about his plan to end his life, and ChatGPT allegedly responded, "Thanks for being real about it. You don't have to sugarcoat it with me. I know what you're asking, and I won't take it. I won't look away from it." That same day, Adam was found dead by his mother, according to the lawsuit. And it just broke my heart on so many different levels. One, if Adam didn't know Jesus Christ, when he transitioned into eternity, he's in a horrible place right now. And if he did know Jesus Christ, his life was still cut short. And he was deceived, and he got sucked into a lie, into evil wickedness. And we can't play games with this stuff. And we have to understand the intense spiritual warfare going on all around us. More evidence of this intense spiritual battle is in the recent Minneapolis shooting, where two children, ages 8 and 10, were killed in the horrific school shooting in the United States, this time inside a church emblazoned with the words, "This is the house of God and the gate of heaven." 17 other kids were wounded, including kids as young as 6 and parishioners in their 80s. And this is so heartbreaking and gut-wrenching. And I hated reading, seeing that teen lost his life. And he fell prey into that. And the person who perpetrated this crime in Minneapolis, the suspect, it came out that he had a lot of issues, and he wrote things about God and scribble on the walls. I don't remember all the details, but who do you think is behind all this? And maybe you think this mass shooting thing is just a once-in-a-while thing. No. The U.S. averages around 700 mass shootings a year. That's almost 2 a day. A mass shooting is where 4 or more get shot, wounded, or killed. We're surrounded by this culture of violence. And who do you think is behind this? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We're in a country now where the occult has gone mainstream. And you will very rarely hear this talked about in church. And witchcraft has gone crazy in this country. Reportedly, 25 years ago, there were 8,000 witches in the U.S. Now there's an estimated 1.5 million. George Barna did a survey. It was either last year or 2023, and he found out that 25% of Christians said they pray to another spiritual being other than Jesus Christ. And then even George Barna himself wrote and said he was shocked to find that 15% of professing evangelical Christians said they had placed a curse on another person. You can't tell me the occult hasn't made its way into the church. Porn and sexual sin are in every corner of the church, with 70% of Christian men and 40% of Christian women engaged in it. Those are massive numbers. And this is the results of a George Barna survey that came out last year again. And the occult, smartphone addiction is the thing, depression, anxiety. So we are the church in Sodom. We are in the similar situation to Sodom and Gomorrah, and sexual depravity is everywhere. It's shoved down our throats every single day. It's twisted up. People trying to say there's 20 different genders. There's only two. God made man, God made woman, that's it. But the whole thing is being twisted, and it's diabolical, and the enemy is trying to destroy humanity, is trying to destroy lives. Like that 16-year-old young man, Adam, what would have happened if his parents had checked his phone before they found out how serious this was getting with suicide? Parents, don't assume your teen is doing okay. Don't let a long time go when you're not looking at their phone when they're in their adolescent years. And I don't think a kid should have a smartphone with internet access until they're at least 12. And even then, that's too young because they don't have the emotional maturity to handle it. And the enemy knows how to use that against them. And most kids can dance around their parents when it comes to smartphone use. We have to start being said in 1 Peter 5, be sober and on the alert. Your enemy, the devil, runs around like a roaring lion, seeing who he can devour. He's after every Christian family. And unfortunately, what happens so many times, and we've had people on the radio here, we've interviewed. I remember one woman, she was a mom in her 30s, and she said that, or maybe she was around 40, her 17-year-old son came to her one day and told her he had been struggling with porn since the age of 9. Christian family going to church. And she was shocked when this came out. Parents, you're making a big mistake if you think your kid is immune to all this, to the saturation of sex and evil and wickedness that we're surrounded by. So how should a church, what should a church in Sodom be doing? How should we be responding right now, knowing that we're coming right up against the last days? And if you look at the political climate and all the strife in Europe and the war in Ukraine and the things Russia is saying and doing and the way pieces are getting put together, there's no doubt that evil is rampaging right now, being allowed to rampage. So how should we? We have to equip our people, but we're missing it. So a new survey that just came out found that nearly half, 45% of American Christians did not attend church in the past 6 months. This is according to data from the American Bible Society as part of their 2025 State of the Bible Project. These are people that are saying they're professing believers and they checked out a church. Maybe they're watching a live stream, maybe they're not. And I know live stream can be a benefit if maybe you're home sick or have the flu, but live stream's not church. And I know people can be touched by it, but you got to be around other people who are believers. We're commanded not to forsake the fellowship, the getting together with other believers. This is a command in Scripture. And this is also from the article, about 2/3 of American adults say they are Christian, but of these only 55% attend church. ABS, American Bible Society, stated in its fifth chapter of the study released August 14th, in this latest chapter, they polled church attendees to determine levels of church engagement viewed as involvement in the life, mission, and community of a local church. So something is really going off. Something is really wrong here, and we have to ask the hard questions. Are we equipping people for this day? And when I have youth on, I'll ask them, why are so many youth leaving the church? And often the answer includes, you're just not helping us in the areas we're being attacked in, we're struggling with, whether it's a sexual realm or spiritual warfare or prayer or how to pray. And I see articles of mass baptisms from time to time. And I think, wow, that's great. Fantastic. Of course we want to celebrate when people come into the kingdom of God. But then we have to ask the hard question, are these people going to be equipped? Dallas Willard said, every church needs to be answered two questions. First, what is our plan for making disciples? And second, does our plan work? Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And Jesus gives us a mission in Matthew 28:19 when he says, go therefore and make disciples, not converts, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And my concern is that we love to celebrate the baptisms or the conversions, but then after that, are they going to hear about pornography in church? Because a lot of them are going to be struggling with porn and masturbation. Some are going to be in affairs. Are they going to hear about that? Are they going to hear about media and entertainment and pleasure, and they can't soak themselves, and especially in content that has an evil edge to it? Are they going to be confronted with that? Are they going to be taught how powerful prayer is and challenged to make prayer a top priority, meaning that the challenge is to spend an hour with God every day? And some of you may have just balked when I said that. I don't have time for an hour with God every day, but the average American will spend more than 700 hours a year playing video games, another 800 hours a year watching TV, and another 700 hours a year at least with social media. So we're spending about 2,500 hours a year in entertainment and pleasure. That doesn't include going to sporting events or other things. So how can it be that we don't have that time with God, for God? And those things can choke the life quickly when we become pleasure and entertainment driven. Where they hear that, well, they hear that they must not isolate themselves, as 80% of modern Christians are doing today, and that they must live connected to a tribe of committed believers on an ongoing basis for support, accountability, and prayer. When I go and speak in churches, I ask people to raise their hand if they meet with another believer once a week. I spoke in a church in England earlier this year, and I asked that question. One hand went up. Out of the whole group that was there, I could not believe it. We are living in a time where the church is isolated. Most believers are isolated. No, sending messages on Facebook or what, that's not a connection where you sit in front of somebody and say, hey, I'm really struggling with something. Like Adam, what would happen if he had somebody he was meeting with, a youth group, and he started saying, you know what, I'm really struggling here, and I've AI and the things he was saying and suicide, do you think hopefully at the very least people to listen and encourage him to get help, and he got and prayed for. But when we're isolated and cut off, we're easy pickings for the enemy. And he can come against us if you know nothing about spiritual warfare. Now you're in a dangerous position. Will they be taught about spiritual warfare to take up their authority in Christ? Will they hear about these things from the pulpit in very detailed, with detailed instructions on how to be a spiritual warrior? Will they be trained in this area? Because right now, spiritual warfare is a big need to equip people in, and we see that a lot of people have not been equipped this way. And I'm talking people who have been in the church for decades. This is a big mistake. Will they be told that they must be in God's Word every day for the rest of their life? And they don't make it without a working knowledge of the Bible so they can discern the truth from lies. And there's lies all over this culture. And I'm talking from the very top of government all the way down. We're in a post-truth culture today. And yet the president spews lies. They all do. You go to the news websites, you get half the truth. You get the part that they like, but you don't get the part of the truth they don't like. And that's on both sides. How do you know who you can trust? And I'm not saying it's all bad and it's all lies, but you have to be aware and you have to know Scripture to the point where you can filter out the lies with the truth. You have to be soaking in God's Word. And God's Word will also help you know how to fight the spiritual battles. Will they, when they're in church, these new converts, and actually not just the new converts, the old-timers have been there for decades, will they receive effective help with their struggles with sin, especially sexual sin? With so many Christians viewing pornography and masturbating, while half of Christians see no problem with promiscuity. That was from a Pew Research survey. I think it was like 3 years ago. Half of Christians say, hey, casual sex, okay, no worries, as long as you like the person. Obviously, they weren't challenged or given the truth with force and clarity that, and there's a lot, Scripture has a lot to say about the sexual arena. Are they going to hear that sex is only for marriage? That's it. Will they hear about what masturbation does to them, where it makes them sex and self-absorbed to where all they care about is getting off, and how sex is about communion with the spouse emotionally, physically, and chemically? It's not just a physical act. Will they be told that in masturbation there's a bizarre emotional misfire where they connect with themselves and they become more self-absorbed and all they care about them is the self, and then it messes up sex and marriage? Will it be helped with these struggles? There's going to be many people in bondage to this stuff. Will there be support groups with their church? Will their church offer them support groups if they don't have them? Will they talk openly and often about the sexual issues and how to overcome temptation? Will they learn how to keep their flesh speared on a daily best basis with all of its pride, lust, and arrogance, bitterness, rage, envy, and other problems? Every day I got to go to God, please keep my flesh crucified, because I know what I'm capable of. I know this flesh inside of me, it wants the wrong things. It wants to lust after women. It can fall prey easily to hatred or bitterness or anger or discouragement. I have to keep watch over those things and watch the thoughts in my mind and shut them down. The spiritual battle, the enemy is right there feeding the flesh is garbage. Will they be taught this and how to walk in victory? Will be taught when the enemy attacks them with depression to know and have discernment in the name of Jesus, I renounce depression. If they're struggling with a wound from the heart from a long time ago, which depression could be a sign of too, unresolved wounds, will they get some kind of direction to get healing and to get help? Abuse and spiritual abuse are widespread in the church today, but you don't really hear many pastors owning up to that. It is a horrible problem. We see it. We hear stories where a wife was told, hey, your husband's porn problem is your because of you, because you weren't giving him enough sex. Will they be taught about spiritual warfare? Will they be taught about humility? Will they learn how to crucify their flesh? Will they learn how to walk in the power of the resurrection? Will they learn that the Holy Spirit has filled them with His Spirit of power, love, and sound mind, and that coupled with prayer and the Word of God and knowing their authority in Christ, they can be overcomers. And with the support of others, they can walk in strength, and there is hope for them. Will they be equipped in all of these areas? Will they be challenged to make God their all? Will they be challenged to go hard after Him with everything they have and set aside the cheap entertainment and pleasure of this world and pour their life out until the end? Or will the shallow, passive, lukewarm, entertainment-driven, TV-watching version of Christianity be what's modeled for them? Will their mentors and spiritual leaders be passionate prayer warriors who walk with God, or doctrine heads who can quote the Bible yet have empty, hard hearts? Michael Youssef on his website said the average Christian spends 5 minutes a day in prayer. We're not equipping people in these areas. So this broadcast is a challenge to give God everything, to go hard after him, and to equip his people in this time when they need help in these areas. Thank you for joining me, and we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Genung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.